I think something that's really, really nice that we see in the story of Jacob is that we see a part of the eternal character of God. We see a continuity of, or a part of his continuous character all throughout the Bible. We see that it is always him who seeks. It is him who seeks out us. And we see a beautiful picture of the gospel here. We see Jacob as every man. He's all of us, right? He is the one mentioned in Romans 3, it says, no one seeks God, right? No one does good. No one understands. None is righteous, right? He is that man, but it's God who seeks out. And we see a beautiful picture of God reaching out in Christ, right? We see God becoming flesh in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, stooping down to that earthly state and meeting man where he is. Yet while we were still sinners, Jacob was still in his own mind, in his own will, right? But God stooped down to his estate. And I think that was just really beautiful. And then one more thing we were mentioning. I really thought of the idea of God's discipline with Jacob, right? It seemed like the wrestling match wasn't even that night, but it was almost his whole life, right? That whole time before, it was a wrestling match. Every step Jacob made, God allowed something to, you know, perturb him, right? And I think that, and Uncle Emil was mentioning yesterday that after that, after you see that, Jacob, the fruit of that was righteous acts by Jacob, right? And he became a righteous man. Everything you read after that, he did well. And I think we can look at the New Testament to bring light on this in Hebrews chapter 12, when it speaks of God's discipline. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one who he loves and chastises everyone who he receives. And he continues on with this, but then we see the outcome of that discipline that we also see in Jacob. For they disciplined us for, speaking of earthly fathers now, but for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit. Remember, we talked about the peace that comes along with it, the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Just to pick up on this thought then of the name change. Jacob confesses who he is. What is your name? I am the supplanter. That's what he said. I'm the conniver. I'm the trickster. I'm the one who has tried to figure this all out. That confession had to be made. But then God gives him a new name. And that's important. Who names? When parents have a child, who names the child? The parents. Why? Because it's their child. Now, God, he says to Jacob, and your name is no longer going to be Jacob, but it's going to be Israel. God gives him a new name. Why? Because he was his. It was a new day. The day was dawning. And now it's God takes ownership. Because Jacob submitted himself to him, seeking a blessing, confessing who he was. And now he belongs to God. He is now Lord. And now it would be him who would lead him on. Just a little thought. You know, when we say it's a new day, it's very interesting. Just very quickly, you see the verse where when Jacob leaves. 28 and 11. Yeah. And Jacob goes down to Haran in chapter 28, and then verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. That was the beginning of the night season in his life. And now we come to the beginning of the new day, the dawning of a new day in Jacob's life. He wrestled. God wrestled with him, and He submits himself, confesses himself, who he was, name changed, it's a new day, and new ownership, so to speak. And God takes control as he submits himself over to him and gives him a new name.
Just to jump on that little thing, it's interesting that we see the sun rising and sun setting in those two points, and right before both of those occasions, a question is asked to Jacob. In chapter 27, his father asks him, "Who art thou?" And that time he lies. He says, "I'm Esau." But here, he says, "I'm Jacob." He finally confesses it. And after that point, when he acknowledges who he truly is, and his name is changed, which is the most significant part of this blessing here, which is interesting, then the sun rises again.
And we have here the perfect work of God, really, because the children, the God's people aren't called after Abraham or after Isaac, they're called after Israel. And it's so interesting that this man, that all that we've heard about to this point, you wouldn't want your people to be named after this man, but God has worked in his life a complete and total change. You're now Israel. It's such a wonderful thing when we allow ourselves to be changed by God. God can work. And we talked about Saul, who was turned into Paul. I mean, that's how God can work. And now God has worked in this man's life in such a wonderful way that he is now going to call. He gives him a new name, and now his people will be called after this new name. It's such a wonderful way to see how the Lord is able to work and to bring change into this man who had no great characteristics until God changes him. And he's able to change whatever it is in my life and in everyone's life to bring out some lasting and eternal and heavenly value out of it. If we allow God to do this work, to change us, to work within us, it's such a wonderful thing how far Jacob is able to be brought from this worthless trickster supplanter to a man who God, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." It's such a wonderful thing because God did the work.
And then you know, our time is almost gone. This is an important point that he acknowledges that he saw God face to face and my life is preserved. We have to ask ourselves, young people, have we ever had such an experience? That at the end of that experience that we could say that I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Because Jacob recognized that the God who had been speaking to him from the excellent glory had come and had touched him. He had literally touched Jacob physically. He had the result of it in his hip, but he also had the blessing. And though he had the limp, I don't think Jacob was so occupied with the limp here, but he was occupied with the blesser and the blessing. Do you notice to see God face to face? Moses, God talked to Moses face to face as a man talks with his friend. He would tell Moses, "Meet me at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I will meet you there, talk with you." This is what we need to have, young people, to see the Lord. John 20:20. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And if we see the Lord, you know, there are many voices in the world today, many images in the world today. But do we hear the voice of God, the voice of the Lord Jesus? He says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice." And what do they do? They follow me. So if you're hearing other voices and you're following those voices, you're not following the shepherd. And then is the beauty to see his face. Paul says that when we behold him, that we're changed from glory to glory. That's how it happens. But if we're seeing the celebrities of this world, if we're seeing men, this was Isaiah's problem. He was seeing the king, Uzziah. He said, "But you know what? In the year that he died, I saw the Lord." We have to say to ourselves, "Lord, help me to have this experience, to see God face to face, to know it, and to know that I'm still preserved." Why are we preserved today? You see, because we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see His glory, His majesty. And it has to have an impact. That is why afterwards it says, and the sun rose upon Him. It's true that the sun rose that day. But it was that there was a change in Him. And so our desire, the Lord's desire, is that the sun would rise upon Him. But you know what? Look at the last part of verse 31. He limped upon his thigh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a cost associated with this metamorphosis. That when we wrestle, and I think that word really means it was a fight, a combat. It was literally a match to see who was going to prevail. And God had to say, man, this man, you know, we surprise ourselves with the spirit, the tenacity within us to hold on to the natural things. But you know, by nature, Jacob, his name was Jacob. But by the grace of God, his name was changed to Israel. And so the grace of God be upon all of us to have this name change and to have a change in the heart so that we can receive the blessing and worship and give thanks to the blesser who will cause the sun to rise upon us. And I want to say, young people, that many of us sitting here, right? Some of us are paying more attention than others. You know, as adults, we see it all. The sun may rise upon many here today that are taking this in, but it doesn't mean that the sun will rise upon every one of us unless I want it to as an individual. These things are very individual. It rose upon Him. So we pray that you would have that desire to say, Lord, I want to see Your face. I want this change. I want a name change. I want an attitude change, a mind change. And I want the sun, the S-O-N, to rise upon me. Let my parents, let me tell you something. The changes that are seen, young people, and not necessarily that all of a sudden you're going to be a Sunday school teacher and you're going to be preaching from the stand. You know where the change is going to be seen? By your parents in your home. Your attitude there. How orderly you become. The desire to be, you know, occupied with the things of the Lord. Your interest in the meeting. That's what it means when the S-O-N rises upon us. Complete change. And your parents are going to say, wow. The best $190 I ever spent, because they saw the Lord.